Please, in your notes, would you follow along with me, please? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. The Message Bible says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. Anybody besides me been there? Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run to God. The Passion Translation says, trust the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all of your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with God in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go. God's promise is, if you trust me, I'm going to take care of it. If you trust me, I'm going to direct your steps. If you trust me, I'm not going to let you down. Romans 5:5 says this, that hope never disappoints because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Our God is worthy of trust. He's a good God. We're going to talk about that for a few moments this morning. That is the goodness of God that builds the confidence in our hearts to totally and completely trust God with our story, with our lives. In Psalm 37, I love this psalm for a bunch of reasons. It's the first sermon I preached as a youth pastor in 1978 at Canyon Country, California, People's Church, Assembly of God. I was an Assembly of God youth pastor working my way through the Four Square Seminary, raised in a charismatic home that was formerly Lutheran. They say, Pastor, what are you? I said, I'm a little bit of everything, just a mutt for Jesus. Maybe no pedigree, but lots of loyalty and love, like a good mutt. David said this in Psalm 37, don't become angry because of evildoers. Don't be jealous or envious of workers of iniquity. They will soon be cut down like grass and wither like the green herb. The idea, here's a couple things. That the devil will always throw someone in your face that's not following God, that's not doing good, and try to show you their progress or their advancement or their breakthroughs while you're trusting God and they're just goofing around living for the devil or living for themselves. But the Bible says don't ever believe those kinds of lies. Because the only kind of house that survives the storms of life is the house built on the rock of God's word. House built on the rock of Jesus Christ. Christ talking about in the parable of storms, he said there was two houses, one built on sand, one built on the rock. The one on the rock withstood the storms of life. The one in the sand didn't. And so don't let the enemy rob you of your faith in what God can do in your future because you see someone going faster than you. You trust God. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Keep doing good. Amen. Keep sowing, keep believing, keep loving, keep obeying God. Dwell in the land and feed on God's faithfulness. Verse 4 is the verse I got my wife with. Delight yourself in the Lord. She says, what am I, a car? Verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. When I was an 18-year-old college freshman, the Lord taught me. He said, Michael, you're trusting me with every part of your life except this part. And I guess I was afraid as a preacher's son and growing up in church, I was afraid that if I let God choose my wife, He might pick someone that I didn't find attractive. And He would say, here's your wife, marry her. And I'm like, are you sure? Yes, it's Mike. I command you to marry this person that you do. But I found that God can do better than I could have without Him. So that's what I meant, honey, that you're the promise for me trusting in God, and you're better than a car any day. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you, He will both awaken godly desires inside of you and then fulfill those godly desires. He will create them, awaken them, and satisfy them. I think that the whole idea of desire has been underrated and maybe berated too much in the church. Yes, we don't want to be directed by ungodly desires, but yes, we want to be directed by godly desires. And you should be a Christian filled with godly desires, godly destiny goals that God's put in your heart to do in your lifetime. The next verse 5 says this, commit your way to the Lord, Trust also on him, and he will bring it to pass. I love that. Here's what he said. People that are trusting commit everything to God. And you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to carry the burden of it. You don't have to be the person who's carrying all the responsibilities in life. But people ask me all the time, Pastor, how do you carry all the weight? I said, I don't carry any of that weight. I give it all to Jesus. In fact, when people talk to me, and I hear secrets for a living, I counsel leaders for a living, and do all kinds of things, but usually before the conversation is done, I'm praying with them. Let's just give it all to Jesus right now. I'm not going to take this home with me because I'm not Jesus. I commit it to him. I commit it to him. And trust is revealed by what you're able to commit. Your level of trust is revealed by your level of commitment, what you're able to give to God. Give it to God and rest. Amen. They say this about, this is kind of a truism in life, but I want to insert some biblical truth about it. They say as parents, you're never more happy as your most unhappy child. And so that kind of the truism there, because when you have, I want to encourage all the single people not married yet, get married, have tons of babies. Children are a gift from God. Man, they're worth it 100%, okay? There's a lot of responsibility, a lot of heartache, but there's so much joy, so much love. A part of your heart awakens that sleeping when you have kids. It's so wonderful. But it is true about that. So here's what I found out, that when your kids aren't doing good, you can give them to Jesus and go to sleep and not worry. That you can commit your ways. So as a parent, that most connected of relationships with your kids, that if they're not doing good, keep praying, keep believing, but stop worrying and stop stressing and stop being anxious. Commit them to Christ and go to sleep and be at rest. In fact, verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Rest in the Lord. He's going to do it. God's going to do it. Just four simple points today. First point, it is the revelation of God's goodness that empowers our hearts to confidently put our trust in God. That's kind of a big thing, and we focus on God's goodness a lot here at CFDN because we believe that God's goodness is a doorway for your heart to really trust God and to build a powerful relationship built on that trust because you've experienced God's goodness in your life. David said this in Psalm 34, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." I love that. My wife does shopping for us, and so I think it's Thursdays. So when she goes to Costco on Thursday, she comes home full because there's so many freebies at Costco. So she said, I had a well-balanced diet. I had some pasta and like four or five things. She said, I don't think there's going to be any dinner tonight. And she looks at me and said, you should have come to Costco. I don't know. Had a feast at Costco. And so the idea is, once you taste the sample, you'll buy the product. Now, please get this. God says, I'm so good. You just have a taste of me. You want all of me. So God, even in the worship encounters like we've had, like we have every service, we're giving people a chance to taste God, taste his goodness, taste his love. And once they taste him, they want more of him. Amen? It's a big thing because your doorway into trust is based on your revelation of his goodness. He wants you to know that. God's goodness awakens our trust. He awakens our trust. The more of God's goodness we know, the stronger our trust will be. So the more I'm confident of his character and his character filled with goodness, the more I'm assured that he's able to be trusted. This began about 20 years ago. I'm convinced they copied it from us charismatics and Pentecostals. But in the corporate world, at retreats, they would start this thing called trust falls. Anybody went to the trust fall season, you know, you're at the corporate trade and people behind you, okay, just go back. We're going to catch you. And so, they caught you. Well, we've been doing that for 100 years. We call it being slain in the Holy Spirit. So we've been having trust falls, and man, I've got some funny stories about trust falls, about being slain in the Holy Spirit at church. I remember the time I had an evangelist, 100 people getting prayed for. They're all being slain, and there are some evangelists that if you don't fall, they will knock you down. They will push your neck back. They will hit you so hard you can thump, because they don't feel like you're getting a miracle till you're on the ground. I don't believe that. God can touch you standing or so. There's no magic in falling. But I remember we had ushers lined up, and they're the catchers. And we had kind of a small usher behind a rather large person. And my thought was, well, I just hope that large person doesn't go down. And God, I'm just watching him. And so I turned away, and God's moving. And I look over there, and the big person's down. And I can't see the little person. And all of a sudden, a little hand sticks out. And it was a double portion whammy. One got slain in the spirit, one got slain by the slain in the spirit person. So many funny stories. One time I had a big associate pastor, big strong guy, and he was catching people, and he's bending down, he's catching them right. You gotta bend your knees, just like lifting weights. He's got it all right. Well, so he bent down right in front of the whole church. His pants slipped from the very top all the practically down to the knees. And it's like this, you heard this rip. So we just tied, we tied one of our little blankets around, our little Pentecostal blankets, we put on people that fall down. So he's walking around with a little dress the rest of the service. So many fun service. I was at the Benny Hinn service at Veterans Memorial Coliseum maybe about 20 years ago, and I'm on the stage, and Benny's praying for people. He says, Michael! And so I'm sitting next to Rex Humbart, a great historic, next to Ralph Wilkerson, next to Brother Schambach. There's enough anointing in that. I mean, these are history makers, and somehow I got in the mix of those guys. And so I'm on there. He goes, Michael! He came running across the, he took off his coat and just threw it across the room, and it landed on me, and the button smacked me right in the eyeball. And so I went down. It was either a Holy Ghost or a button. I go down, and I land in the lap of Rex Humbart, who I think was 104 years old. And he landed in the lap of Ralph Mahoney, who was a 94. And he landed, and I knocked over 300 years of legends. And I was about 70 pounds bigger than this, and I was laying there thinking, Jesus, I don't want to kill anybody on this stage. Please help Brother Rex. And he's laying down next to me, looking over me like, what a jerk. Yeah, I've got so many good stories. I remember from one of the largest churches in America. Oh, yeah. Another good story. Now, I've seen this happen maybe 5 or 6 times. And every time it happens, you can't laugh. You have to be very sober. So what's happened is when a lovely woman's, the power of God's touched her so powerfully, she goes down and her wig goes about 10 rows past her. Shh. Man, you've not been in the Pentecostal service until you've seen a couple of wigs. Just whoo. Now, you know it's the Lord when they're down, they don't even care. I don't even care about that wig. That's the important thing. But it's always funny how people respond. They don't know what to do. I said, well, go get it, lay it next to her head. And when she gets up, we'll help her put it together. So next time you do a corporate trust fall, just know we invented that stuff. They can thank us for what God. But my second point is this. Trust becomes easy when you know you're loved. Trust becomes easy when you know you're loved. This is an important point, because ultimately my lack of trust reveals that I'm feeling unloved, that my heart's feeling unloved. And I want to make sure I move past that, okay? I want to make sure I overcome that. If the enemy can plant seeds concerning God's goodness, of doubt concerning God's goodness in our hearts, he can steal our capacity to trust. If we have suspicions of God's goodness, we will always have doubts about his promises. Fear is the evidence of a lack of trust. The more trust we have, the less fear we have. Love creates trust. The untrusting heart is a heart that feels unloved. David said this, Psalm 13, I have trusted in your mercy. David said, your mercy is so good, powerful, so real. Chapter 32, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy will surround him. The promise of before and after trust. How rich, how beautiful. Psalm 36 says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men will put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Your loving kindness awakens my capacity to give you my heart, my trust. You can trust God because he loves you more than anybody else on this planet. His love is better. Psalm 52 says this. I love this verse. He says, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I'm like a tree. We sang this growing up. I'm like a tree, like a tree, like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. I will trust in the mercy. Sing along, God, forever I will. Of course you don't know it. So David said this, my roots are so deep in love that my branches can expand in trust. David said, you don't understand. I found him to be so genuinely loving, so his loving kindness better than life, he said, that my trust isn't hard to find because his love always empowers me to trust him more. Isn't that wonderful? The untrusting heart is the heart that feels unloved. Every time you're untrusting, there's a part of you that's potentially, possibly feeling unloved because love creates trust. Third point today, the more we put our trust in God, the less we have to fear from men. The more we put our trust in God, the less we have to fear from men. And so it's a big thing because the fear of man, the fear of all the things that happen in this lifetime is a powerful, really controlling influence in the culture, in everyone's life, in so many people's life. But the more I'm trusting God, the less I'm dependent on people to satisfy what I'm looking for from God. And so it makes me fearless in my response to people. David said this in Psalm 56, whenever I am afraid, I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you, God. What happens? My fears leave when my trust is reasserted. God, that's great news, amen. Message Bible says, when I'm really afraid, I come to you in trust. That's what God says to us. Just give me your trust. Give me your issue. Give me your situation. Because I'm going to take care of you. There's nothing I wouldn't do for my kids, my grandkids. And I love them because they were born. That's all they had to do. Not because of their behavior. I don't approve of all the things they do. But my love never changes because of their behavior. I love them because they're mine. I love the seven, super seven grandkids, my four kids, their spouses. So, and Jesus trying to build our understanding, a revelation of how much God loves us. He said this. He said, if you as being natural fathers, in one chapter, in one gospel, he says evil fathers. If you then being human fathers want to do good things to your children. He said, if your son asks for bread, you don't give him a rock. If he asks for a fish, you don't give him a scorpion. How much more will your father give good things to those that ask him? How much more? So the best father, the best mother in this room pales in contrast to how good God is. It's impossible to exaggerate the goodness of God. He's better than your wildest thought. No one's going to stand in the presence of God in heaven and say, oh, I'm disappointed. I thought you'd be better than this. I thought your goodness would be richer. I thought your love would be more. No one, everyone that comes there will be overwhelmed that your greatest thought about how good he is pales in the contrast of who he really is. He's good to the core of his person. And as John describes him, God is agape. God is love. I love that. That's who he is. Everything emanates out of his love for us as his people. So we can live fear-free lives. Fear is a manifestation. I'm not trusting. And God wants to help me overcome fear. Amen. We don't have to be afraid when we're trusting. When we're trusting God. Amen. We can trust God. You can trust God with your future. You can trust God with your finance. You can trust God with your family, your spouse, your children, your decisions, your business. You can trust God in every aspect of your life. He's worthy to be trusted. He's not going to let you down. He's on your side. He's for you. Like the little song I sang. He's not going to disappoint you. He wants to show off on your story and show you what he can do when it comes to trust. Fourth point this morning. About the rewards, the consequences, and the benefits. Trusting God fills our hearts with God's peace and joy. Whew. Why? When I'm trusting God, all of the unhealthy emotions don't have any roots to stay. Isaiah says it like this. You will keep him in perfect peace. In the Hebrew, it's peace, peace, double peace. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Here's the punchline. Because he or she trusts in you. Ah! Peace, the consequence of the trusting heart. The more I trust him, the more peace I'll live in. The greater the trust, the greater the peace. Come on now. Don't waste years of your life worrying about things that God can take care of. Trust God with those things. Put them in God's hands. Live in God's peace. Live in God's joy. Live in God's rest. Oh, Pastor, what's going to happen politically? I don't know, but just trust God. What if the wrong person gets elected? Well, that happens every election. I noticed Jesus isn't running for any offices. It doesn't matter. Of course it matters morally and culturally, but in your story, don't let other people's behavior govern the emotional condition of your soul. Be a peace carrier, a joy carrier. Joy is the evidence. David talked about that in Psalm 5. Let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Who put their trust in you. I don't know about you, so I've had this happen 1,000 times in a worship service that I've come in kind of burdened. Oh. But during the worship service, it's impossible to worship without at some part in that service dealing with your stuff. Oh, Lord, I give you my family. I give you, put it on your hand. And so what happens, I displace that worry, that fear, that anxiety, or that discouragement with joy. And we feel God's joy. But it's impossible to live in continual joy if you're not living in continual trust. Well, Pastor, I need joy. Well, you have joy in you. It just can't last long because you're not trusting God. The more you trust God, the more longevity joy has in you. Amen. Trusting God. Mary and I have a couple of cool testimonies, and we can't really share them specifically, but it's a couple of events in the last 2 months where it looked like it was negative things, and one of them, even on an airplane trip, got some really tough news. And so we got our hearts right before we even landed, and we said, God, we're trusting you with everything. And God turned the whole thing around to a big miracle. But by the time we were in, and my old promise to you is this, my conclusion to you is this, man, God will write some outrageously good endings. If you trust him in the season, come on, God's going to open a great door for you. You may be in the hallway, okay, the hallway of hell. No doors are opened, it's dark, it's uncertain. Trust God when the lights are off. Trust God when the doors aren't opening. He's going to open a door. He's going to turn the light on. He's going to fulfill this promise. And the hallway of uncertainty, just start singing. You know, your goodness is running after me. It's going to happen. Start worship God. Leon family this week put on Facebook the last 10 days, last 2 weeks, worship services. And we had a memorial service for their 20-year-old son yesterday here. And they've literally, for 2 weeks, just worshiped God. Tears, but you talk about being heroic. When you can worship God for being good, while you're going through something very bad, you give the devil two black eyes, and you create a spiritual contradiction, which releases miracles. Now listen, God never makes bad things happen. But God always makes bad things become good things when we trust him. Come on, I'm all done. Stay on your feet. Turn to someone and say, keep trusting him. Prayer team, would you join me? Down?